Thank you for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from one of our Kingdom conferences.
Amen. Isn't it awesome? Great. Whew. You know, as we're sitting there in worship, the Lord just said, I just want to love on them. I don't know if you felt that during worship. Him just loving on you. If you didn't, you missed what he's wanting to do today, because he says, I just want to love on my people. You know, something that was always surprising as a child when you did a lot of things wrong and you thought your parents were going to whip you, and instead they're holding you and hugging you. And sometimes we come to church with guilt, and God's still saying, I love you. But do you remember what I did? See, the devil knows our name, but he calls us by our sin. God knows our sin, but he calls us by our name. Yeah. That's the love of the Father. He loves you. Go ahead and hug yourself. Say, he loves me. No, I'm his favorite. I was going to say, and he beat me to it. And sometimes when I say that, some people look at me like, oh, man, I wished I could be. It's like,
come on.
I've said that at places. I'm going, I'm his favorite. And they're all like, yeah, I guess she is. I'm like, no, that's right. Go ahead and protest. I'm his favorite. Go ahead, say it. I'm his favorite. He loves me more. Amen. And somebody said, kept saying, he loves me more. And I said, well, then he loves me the most. You know, there's just, yeah, come on. Okay. See, that's what I'm saying. He wants to love on you today. If there's nothing else when you leave to go break and come back, is just let him keep doing that. That's what he wants to do. There's other things he'll do today, but he just wants you to know you're so special and you're so loved. And he just, I just knew when I was just sitting there, I could just feel him. And he said, I said, God, what do you want to do today? He said, I want to love on them. Yeah. I said, well, go ahead, because I do too. And I just like you loving on us, so do it. Amen. So how many were touched last night? Hallelujah. Somebody got a quick testimony? We're overcomers by our testimony in the blood of the Lamb. Come on.
So I've had bone spurs in the back of my neck and my shoulders for quite a while, like years. And two doctors have told me that as I get older, my neck will move forward and I'll be like a hunchback person. So, but Randy, I know. I'm just saying that's what the doctor said. But I came up to Randy, even though he was praying for backs. I said, hey, could you pray for this for me? So he prayed for this. And when his hands were on my back, there was all this popping going on. He could even feel it. And then, like he said, burn spurs dissolve. And I just want to show you my neck because it's straight. Like it was already forward. Look. I had a huge bump, and it's gone.
Woo, come on. Woo! Hot dog, she got it. Okay.
That's not Randy. That's Jesus doing that. Randy just laid the hands on, okay? Let's give Jesus another hand.
Yeah. Hallelujah! Woo! Well, anyone else? Don't be it. Okay, come on. It's encouraging. People need to hear.
Well, I went up for prayer because my back was hurting all night while I was sitting back there, and the doctor said it's arthritis. And so I was waiting for prayer, and, you know, there were a lot of people before me getting prayed for, and I thought, well, I have time to go to the restroom and get back before he's done. So I did that, and I came back, and I was like, my back doesn't hurt anymore.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Amen.
Well, you confirmed what a couple other people had told me. and what was on my heart already. And it's so good then when the word of the Lord is confirmed by many witnesses, because
right.
it just gives you so much more confidence and faith and boldness to really step out in what you know or you feel that God is doing. So I thank Jesus. I thank
Amen.
You for this vessel.
Hallelujah. Come on, sweetie. Isn't this exciting?
Yes.
This is what it's all about.
Last night my back was hurting me. It's common when I stand a long time that it starts to hurt. The doctor said my spine is going the wrong direction now, like scoliosis, but not. Anyway, Randy prayed, and the Lord showed him what it looked like, and I started to feel like a straightening up, and it was pretty remarkable. I was enjoying that. Oh, this is God's doing this. And I'm taller. I think I gained back that half inch I lost getting, I thought I was getting older, but I'm taller.
Glory! Hallelujah! Glory!
I'm really shy and timid and humbled.
I'm glad you're coming out of that.
But when you spoke the word that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that kind of, come on, God help me. But
just close your eyes and act like nobody's here but you and me.
But as during the service, my neck was very, very stiff, very stiff. And I mean, it got stiffer and stiffer, it seemed like. Because I was in an accident on the 12th. 9 of 2020, and so it's, you know, it just gets really, really bad. But by faith, I came, and Randy just put his hands on my neck, and it's like you could feel the heat. The it just, you know, I went back and sat down, and I started feeling myself. I'm like, I don't feel any more in my neck. I was like. None at all. And then I started feeling up here, and it was real tender, and it hurt. And as more than I just touched it, it went away too. So, I mean, it just started. And he who began a good work in me is going to be faithful to complete it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Come on. Woo! I love this.
I've been dealing with chronic stomach pain for about a year, and the man of God, Randy, Jesus showed him what was in my intestine, and he said it was about this big, and it was really inflamed, and he said, put your hand on your stomach. So I put my hand on my stomach, and I felt heat as soon as I was touching it, and he started praying, and I went back, and Jesus did surgery on me last night, and I'm healed.
Hallelujah, come on.
Yeah, he did a lot with you.
Is it there?
Okay. Wow, the love of the Father encountered me in a place that I really did not want to, but I mean, I really, really did not want to go there. Because my body has been hurting in the very places that I had trauma. And Joanna was praying for me, and Holy Spirit, I just really felt the love of Jesus in like a new way that I've never felt before. And I had a knowing that he's not leaving me. I had a knowing that he's with me. And also I had a knowing that he's going to use my testimony to set a lot of women free. Thank you, Jesus.
Man, woo! Now, see, while there's backs and necks over there, there was inner healing over here. Whoo! Amen. So we got the whole box of chocolates. Amen. It's awesome for those of us in here. You got a testimony. Come on. I mean, this was awesome. Sometimes we're looking to man to do something, and Jesus just does it.
So similar to what happened with her right there. So I had back pain during the service, and I didn't know what it was. I thought it was actually something with my kidneys, so I got in line, and I ended up sitting down because I couldn't stand, and then I didn't even get to go get prayed for by Randy, and my pain disappeared, so I got to tell him about it, but it's awesome. So thank you, Jesus.
So what does that mean? Right in the middle of worship, right in the middle of preaching. Sometimes when you walk in the door or walking out of the door, Dr. Jesus, just take your case and heal you. We're too busy most of the time looking to man, and we need to look to Jesus. Amen. He's the healer. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And so we need to look up. Now, sometimes God will use man or woman, whatever you want to, yeah, I want to distinguish that since the government today doesn't know the difference. We do, thank goodness. And so he wants us to look to him. My dad would always say, I can't heal a headache on a fly, but I know the one who can. And so if we just get Dr. Jesus to take our case and realize, but sometimes he'll take meetings and he'll use people. That's why he said, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you receive, freely you give. And so we're going to see one of the greatest revivals when people get up and begin to do what God's called the church to do. They'll be announcing at Walmart, clean up on aisle six, clean up on aisle six. Because six is man's number and it needs a cleanup, right? Everyone, if we could have your attention, please. The Legacy Church is back today. They were here last week. If you need a healing, come to aisle seven. Blind eyes were open. People came out of wheelchairs, cancer being healed. And they've come back again this week on aisle seven if you need a healing. Hallelujah. New beginnings on aisle eight. Woo! I'm going to be excited when that starts happening. You know, they're announcing everything else, even at the airports, instead of stay inside the line, stay, do this, put this on, take this off, do this. They'll be saying, oh, they're back again. You need a healing. Amen. It's exciting for them. Those of you who weren't here last night, you didn't miss anything. You made it just in time. Welcome. We're glad you're here. And we thank you all for being hungry. I'm telling you, if people are not hungry, I've told pastors, I don't know what to do. Sometimes the people aren't hungry. The pastor says, I know you can't make somebody eat when they're not hungry. And I thought about that. Because, you know, you invite somebody to go eat, and I'm really not hungry. I can't eat anything. And you feed, and you feed, and you feed, and they won't eat. And you think, what am I going to do? Because they're not hungry. Well, I've decided to force feed you. Because I want revival so bad. I want to see God move. I know what it's like. So I told some pastors, I don't care. I'll force feed your people. You will? How are you going to do that? I said, look, when my kid was little, didn't like oatmeal, you know, or you didn't like spinach, things that are good for you, and they spit it out. And some of you know what I'm talking to, fixing that. So you put that applesauce or the banana or something sweet in front of it, put the spinach behind it, and you take it because you tried to get them to eat the other, and they spit it out all over you and wing and carried on. So you go, oh, chicka chicka woo woo, you tried everything. Open your little mouth, isn't this great? And finally, you just put something sweet and nice in front of it, and then you shove it all in. They don't know whether spit, chew, swallow, or what. So that's what I do with people. I've decided I'm going to force feed you because we're going to have revival. We're going to have a move of God. God does not hold back revival. God wants to renew, refresh, restore his people. He loves you so much. He wants you to be full of him. He doesn't like the things that the bully picking on you, and he wants you set free. So thank you for loving on us today. He does it every day. But sometimes you just feel like that extra special. And you look a whole lot better. Shine, shine, shine. You know, I tell people when they get in the glory with God, and they told Moses, cover your face.
you're just too bright for us. I get in that kind of glory and I get that bright, and you tell me that, I'm going to hand you sunglasses. I'm not covering my face. Woo, I'm going to shine, baby, shine. Amen. Just want you to know, for those of you who are new, others were here last night, we have impartation materials over here on the table. This helps keep us on the road. We're 100% full-time evangelists. We also go to Colombia, Africa, looking to go to Belize. Right now, because some things are closed, but Belize, they said we could come in some other places. So, and Ecuador, been to Ecuador, so we do go to the nations as well. But so this helps with that too as well. But it's also good materials. It's books of my father. He wrote his own life story book. And some of you who don't know who Jack Coe is, maybe some of you researched before you got there. So, well, who's Jack Coe and who's this woman coming? And so some of you might have cheated and went on the internet and found out. Maybe not, but Jack Coe, this was my father, wrote his own life story book, had the largest tent in the world, held 22,000 people with another 10 to 20,000 standing outside. Blind eyes open, the lame walk, the deaf hear. They said that when he was in Long Island, New York, the estimated crowds were between 60 to 70,000 people. So you want to talk about some hungry people. He didn't have to do no force feeding. Woo, they were pushing to get in to get more, amen. And so if you want to know about this, how this all happened from being an alcoholic to getting saved to being in the army to the largest tent in the world, you can read this in his own book that he wrote. He also wrote a book called Curing the Incurable. Doctors say diseases are not curable, but Dr. Jesus says they are. In fact, doctors don't even know what to do with an incurable disease, because when it gets cured, they're like, all we can tell you, it's a miracle. Amen. Because they realize all of a sudden it wasn't them, it wasn't their medicine, there is no other cases, and your case shows up. Now every year they want to send you a letter and want to find out how you got it. Because they're constantly looking for a formula. I'm here to tell you, there's no formula in healing. If people come teaching you formulas and how to go out and how to heal and what to heal and how to do it, run. All you got to do is do. God says, you do your part, I'll do mine. If people don't get healed, it's not your fault. And if people do get healed, it's not your credit. He's the one who did it. He does like to brag on you and show you off. He said, Peter healed this one, Paul healed this one. There's nothing wrong with complimenting or exalting someone that God has done, just as some said, Randy prayed for me. But we know we didn't do it. We know the one who did. My dad would always tell people, quit saying Jack Coe did this, Jack Coe. And he said, you know, sometimes people, God wants to exalt, but he just got tired of it. He said, Jack Coe can't do nothing. It's Dr. Jesus. Amen. And then A.A. Allen wrote a book called The Price of God's Miracle Power. There are people who want impartation. They want to be an A.A. Allen, a Jack Coe, a William Branham. And he says, do you want to pay the price? There is a price. There is a cost. Amen. And even though you have an impartation, and even though you've received that, you may not step into it, even though God wants you to. Mantles do not go to heaven. When you get to heaven, you're not going to be paying, giving tithes and offerings. You need to enjoy it here. When you get to heaven, you're not going to lay hands on the sick, because there's not going to be no sick folks. So you might as well have fun here. Amen. We have privileges we get to do right here on earth. It's not going to happen in heaven. Amen. And so we need to have fun with what he's given us the ability to be able to do. We need to start getting excited. He's put a little bit of heaven on earth for us to experience and be a part of. It'll change your whole way of thinking. Well, they just want my money. You know, one time a pastor told me, I'm not real good at offerings. And he said, you got to take up your own offering. I said, oh, God, help me. Because I'd seen so much manipulation and witchcraft. That manipulation is witchcraft. I don't want to manipulate people. Oh, God, how do I do it? What do I say? How do you want me to do it? And I mean, you can use scriptures, but I want to make sure my heart's right. And the Lord said, tell the givers to give and tell the keepers to keep their money. I don't want it. And I was waiting for what else? And I said, what else? Nothing else came. I got up and I said, well, I was asked to take up my own offering. I'm just going to tell you what the Lord told me. He said, you givers give and you keepers keep your money. He don't want it. And then I said, pass the plates or do whatever. And they're like, that's it? And I went and sat back down. And I thought, Lord, that wasn't very much. He said, it's enough because the keepers know they're keepers. And the givers, you can keep on at the givers and they'll give beyond what I ask them. Because givers are givers and they'll keep on giving. Amen? So that was some information I guess he wanted you to have. We won't probably be at the table, but if you find something and you want to use a credit card, there's some forms inside that little box that you can put your money in or your check in, or you can fill this out for your credit card or debit card. Be sure and put the amount you spend, because you don't want me to put mine. My husband gave me plastic surgery once. No, it wasn't facelift and all that. He cut up the credit cards. So you don't want me to put my amount. So be sure and put what you spend and then your phone number. I know it's not your writing, just sometimes I have a problem reading, so if I need help on something, amen. And that will help right there. We have the disciple crosses. These are a great testimony and a tool. We have bandanas that we pray over, and if you want special prayer, you want us to call out their name. I tell people, don't let them know you bought them something. Give it as a gift, and we'll pray over it and let God do it. We had one woman got a bandana for her son, and he rode motorcycles. And so we prayed over it and called him out by name. And he was wearing his bandana out riding one day. This had been going on for some time. He was really excited that his mom, he said, wow, thank you. Because she tried to give him prayer cloths, and he got mad and threw him and said, don't you give me that junk no more. She said, thank you for that great idea. I'm going to give him a bandana. He come in one day, threw that thing on the ground. He said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm so miserable. She just began to pray with him. He gave his heart to the Lord. And she said, well, I have to confess it was the bandana. But it wasn't the bandana. It was just the point of contact of Jesus. Amen. That's what Paul said, take the hankies, the aprons. He wants that point of contact of that anointing that's in this house to go out. And it said in Acts 19, when they did that, many miracles happened. Hallelujah. Cards with DVDs, baby, wedding, birthday, and they got beautiful sceneries and scriptures, and they're very, very peaceful, very awesome. And then, of course, music, CDs. So if you like the good old times songs, then they're there. I just don't have the new ones. I've only got old ones, okay? Not because of old time revival. That's just how it is. Anyway, and we have CDs and DVDs. Arise, Take Up Your Bed and Walk. Sermon I preached in Ashland. Divine Healing on Trial. This is a DVD. My dad was arrested in Florida for practicing medicine without a license. Let me get that to you again. He was arrested in Florida for practicing medicine without a license. Now, I'm here to tell you, you don't need a license to pray for people.
They weren't denying he was healing people.
That's right.
They were just saying he was doing it
without a license. But he won the case so we can pray for people. But if you want to see the old hairdos, the miracles, and you want to see people getting healed, and you want to hear good old-fashioned preaching, old singing, old cars, you can see, even check out the old cars back then and things, and the old hairdos. Hallelujah. Thank goodness we've changed a lot. Well, anyway, another story. God will set your fields on fire. My favorite sermon of my dad's, not just because he talks about me in it, but it's a very powerful sermon. You listen to this sermon, you will be on your face before God, whether you're a Christian or a sinner. It's very, very powerful. We don't hear preaching like this today. They preach it to the altars. I think back then people got saved 50 or 100 times in those days back then, because those preachers would preach you to the altar. Amen. And then a brand new name, my dad's testimony, how he hot dog got it. And some of us hot dog got it last night, right? Isn't it fun to hot dog get it? Yes, he's so good. Go ahead and say, thank you, Jesus. Just keep loving on me. Because I'm your favorite. In the name of Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. We seal every testimony, and even those who didn't get up and those who are in the process of being healed. There are some that their process has started, but they just haven't seen all the evidence completed yet. And the Bible even says, as they went on their way out, as they were going toward the priest, the leprosy left them. So I thank you that even as some of them, as they go, they're going to see it. And we thank you because we're overcomers by our testimony. And we just thank you that you sealed these healings. No comeback, devil. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's one way to keep a comeback devil from coming back. You get up and testify. And he'll try. And you have to say, no, you're not welcome back here. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited. Some of you met my husband. You already heard the testimonies. God uses him in a powerful way. Episcopalian. That's what he was. He ran into this Pentecostal girl, fell in love. We got married. We were heathens, practicing heathenism when we met. And my mother warned him, when she gets right with God, you'll be miserable. She was called to marry a preacher, and she's called to preach. And he said, well, I won't never be that, Grandma, never. She said, well, I'm just warning you up front. She said, I'll marry you, because she was the one who performed our ceremony, and she's the one, because I told him I won't marry you unless my mother gives permission. And she said, I don't know why I'm doing this. She said, everything in me that I've taught people, I would say no, but she said, I'm going to say yes. She said, but you will be miserable when you marry her if she gets right with God. Amen? Light and darkness don't work good together. But it wasn't long. Holy Ghost got a hold of him. And then not only did I hot dog get it and came back, but he hot dog got it. And then God began to use him and find out that he was called to preach. Three different prophets in three different places said, you, sir, I don't know you, but I have a word for you. And they would go over and say, from your mother's womb, you've been called to preach. And I'm like, I'm hitting him. You were my preacher all this time, and I thought I failed God. But then I prayed for him and he's okay now. So come on, honey, this is Randy Herndon. God uses him in awesome ways.
Hallelujah. Boy, did we have fun last night. Anybody have fun last night? You know, somebody made fun of me and said, well, what do you mean have fun? You're having fun doing what in church? I said, look, when you get somebody out there that's hurting and you get them up here and pray for them and you see the Lord heal them, honey, that's fun. I don't care what anybody says, that's fun. And we had fun right over here last night, I'll tell you, right up to nearly midnight last night, amen? So I wanted to tell you that there's a difference a lot of times that I've noticed in churches. The atmosphere is different in many different churches. And your atmosphere in this house is over the top. I'm telling you right now. And you know why? It's because of you. And another reason why is because you're getting some good teaching right here. I hadn't been here, but I know what he's teaching. I really do. Holy Spirit's been telling me. Good job, Pastor. Yes. And still pray for your pastors, both of them. They need it all the time. They need your covering all the time. They really do. So just little instructions there, boys and girls. And then I'm going to give another testimony. I love to tell God's stories. And I will not ever stop. And I tell a lot of times I may tell the same one in the same conference, tell the story twice. I don't know, because I'm 74 and I don't remember too many things. I can blame it on that, right? So we were in Ashland, Virginia at Sister Ruth Heflin's camp. It's a great place. It's an open air. Well, it's open on three sides. And we were headed down. They had three services a day, too. And we were headed down to, I think, the afternoon service or whatnot. And I remember a young family coming up behind us. They had been there that morning, and she had they had indicated that they needed prayer, and she said, I'll talk to you later. And so she came up. We were going down this hill to the service. She came up, tapped me on the shoulder. She said, is this service okay to pray for my son? I said, well, sure. And time came, and we were on the prayer line, we were on the healing line. I'm changing that. We can pray anytime, but we can't heal all the time. Amen. Come on, that's a healing line up here. So we got down there, and she also kind of indicated the story that they didn't know what was wrong with this young man. He was 17, 18-ish in that area and had problems with his legs and has always been for playing sports, but he never could because of the problems with his legs. They didn't know what it was. They were going to take him in for exploratory surgery and blah, 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 and all that. So time came, and he came up. And I started to lay hands on him. I said, "Wait a minute. There was a wall about this high, a little bit shorter maybe than this, a little concrete wall. I said, "Come on over here to this wall and sit down." And so when I did that, I started getting instructions from the Holy Spirit as to what to do next. I love getting instructions, and we get them constantly when we're up here. Okay. Remember, here again, that's not Randy and Joanna. That's the Holy Spirit. So I got him up there, and I don't know whether everybody can see me. I said, stick that leg up, your right leg. And I didn't ask him which leg or if it was both legs or whatever. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit again. I said, put your heel in my hand like this right here. So he put his heel up there, and I heard the Lord say, put your hand on the top side of his foot. Okay. So then I grab him, and I'm thinking, okay, Holy Ghost, what now? Come on. And he says, pull. And to me, I go, what? But I have to do what he says. So I pull. And when I pull, I heard this loud and felt this loud pop. Well, it scared me to death. My stomach went up in my throat, you know, and I said, are you okay? And he goes, yeah, I'm fine. I said, all right, sit that down. He said, and I said, stand up. He stood up, and he kind of, yeah, you know, that feels pretty good. And I said, well, walk down. And he started walking. He kind of doing like this. Like, hey, 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 come here. Why are you limping? He said, well, I've got, never mind. I'm feeling like Joe Super Christian now, you know. Get back on that wall and put that foot in here again. He did the same thing. I said, wait a minute. Take that shoe off. Take that sock off. Come on. Then I grabbed his toes when it was in my hand like this. I grabbed his toes and started bending them back and forth like this, praying in tongues the whole time. And I looked up at him and said, how do you feel? And his eyes rolled back in his head. He said, oh, that feels wonderful. And then he got up and started to run off. And I go, oh, wait, hold it. What was wrong with your toes? He said, I had four broken toes. Stomach back up into the throat again. Because I'm wondering, what in the... Man, the Holy Spirit will... Anyway, I think it was the next day. We were going down and we were headed somewhere. And we felt somebody running up behind us. And it was this young man. He was all hot and sweaty. He'd been playing basketball all day. He's having a ball. Just telling us that he loved us and thanks for praying. And I said, listen, I'm curious. Last night, you know, when I put my hand on your toes and started bending them back, I said, how did that work? How did that feel? And he said, the second you put your hand on my toes, they were healed. And I didn't know that. I had no clue. That's a Jesus we serve. That's the Jesus we serve. All we got to do is follow his direction. Let me say that again. All we got to do is follow his direction. So many of us are going, oh, I don't know. That doesn't feel right. Oh, I don't know whether I can do that or not. Yes, you can. Are you kidding me? I'm an old Episcopalian kid. I had a lot to learn. You know, I was. He wanted me to start praying for Joanna. I said, Lord, that's Jack Cole's daughter. I don't know what to pray for her. Then I kept doing it and kept getting better and better and easier and longer. Come on. Feels good this morning, doesn't it? Well, all right, let's just find out what the woman has this time. A lot of times I just say, let's just cut her loose and let her find out what's happening. I told y'all last night she does listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit took over last night and preached that sermon. And it was good, wasn't it? Let's see what she has today.
What a healing Jesus I found in you. What a healing Jesus. He restores, refreshes, and renews. You're my healing Jesus for such a time as this. Arise on healing wings, Son of righteousness. What a healing Jesus I found in you. What a healing Jesus. He restores, refreshes, and renews. You're my healing Jesus for such a time as this. Arise on healing wings, arise on healing wings, Son of righteousness. So if you know it, sing it with me. What a healing Jesus I found in you. What a healing Jesus. He restores, refreshes, and renews. Yes, he does. Well, my healing Jesus for such a time as this. You mean right now, today? Arise on healing wings. Say it again. Arise on healing wings. Again. Arise on healing wings, Son of righteousness. Holy Spirit, I ask that the words that I speak and the things you want spoken today be fresh from you. We thank you for fresh manna, fresh words. You're the bread of life, and healing is the children's bread. Many people need miracles. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And so we stand on your word, because your word doesn't lie. You're not a liar. If you lie about one thing, we might as well just go home and forget it all. But you are truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we just ask you, Lord, just to speak to hearts and lives today. Encourage us. Lift us up. Keep loving on us. And change us from the inside out. I'm asking for more inner healing as well as physical healing in people today. I'm asking for transformation and joy and encounter of your presence. Just to encounter the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're never the same when we get in your presence. We're never the same when we encounter you. There's a transformation and there's a change. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Whew. Well, there was a lady that was in the hospital, and they had taken the mother into surgery and cut her open, and they finally came out to the family and gathered them around and said, I want to speak to everybody at one time because I have something to talk to you about. And so when the doctor gathered him around and spoken to the family, he said, "We've cut your mother open and we have not sewed her back up. It would take too much time in doing that, and she's not going to live long, and we just want you to spend as much time with her as you can. So we're already, while I'm talking to you, they're transferring her into another room to get her comfortable so you can go in and gather around as a family and spend the time with her until her passing." And so they all boo-hooing and gather in the room with the mother, and the nurse is hanging the little bags up and getting things ready, and they keep hearing the mother whispering something. And they get closer and closer. "Mama, what are you saying?" I said, "What is she saying? I don't know." So they get even closer and they're trying, "Mama, I know it's hard for you to talk. I know you don't feel good, and we're here for you. What is it you want?" She kept saying, "Take me to the tent." One of the kids finally heard, "Take me to the tent." Said, "Oh, Mama wants an oxygen tent." So they run out, they find the doctor, he's still there, and said, "Doctor, my mom needs some oxygen. She wants an oxygen tent." He said, "Honey, by the time I order that, it may be too late." He said, "Go spend time with her. Don't worry about an oxygen tent." I said, "Okay, but my mom wants one." And so went back in, and she's still saying, "Take me to the tent." And so he said, "Well, Mama, maybe we just take her down where the nurse, where is the oxygen tent? Maybe we just take her down to where the oxygen tent is, and then my mom will be okay. She can feel a little better. She's not comfortable. She keeps whispering this." And the nurse is like putting things. She said, "Well, you know, she may be talking about that tent down the road." I said, "What tent?" She said, "Well, I don't know. There's some tent meeting going on down the road, and they coming in and getting people out of the hospital, and they haven't been coming back." Woo! So they said, "Mama, is that what you're talking about? You want to go to that tent?" She said, what kind of tent is it?" And she said, "I don't know, some kind of preaching tent. They calling it a tent revival." I said, "Mama, is that what you want to go to? You want to go to that tent revival?" And she kind of blinks her eyes at him and nods like, "Yes." So they run out to the doctor and said, "Doctor, my mama wants to go to that tent revival down there." I said, "So can we take her?" And he said, "Are you crazy? Did you not hear me? I've got her left cut open. I mean, she could catch any kind of infection. Dirt could get in there. We didn't sew her up. This is a very dangerous thing to do, and this would be very harmful for her." He said, "But, Doc, you said she's going to die anyway. What difference does it make? We want to grant her her last wish if this is what she wants." And the more they talked to him, finally he said, "You're just crazy like the rest of them. Just do what you want to do. Just do whatever." So they called an ambulance, and the ambulance brought the mother to the tent. And when they got in my dad's prayer line, because every night after preaching, he would have a prayer line, and there would be thousands in the prayer line. And it finally came her turn to this mother, and when she wheeled up in the hospital bed, that those ambulance beds they had, my dad pulled back the sheets, and he could see this woman was cut open where they had pulled things back and still had the clamps on it. You could see inside her body where they had kind of stopped the bleeding and everything. And he said, "Anybody want to see a miracle?" Well, there's 300 pastors sitting on the platform. They all ran forward. And some others from the front area ran forward. He couldn't let all 22,000 run up there. And he said, "God's going to do a miracle right now if you want to see it." And he began to pray. And one of the guys who was standing there, who told me, his name was Buford Dow. Buford Dow played the organ for my dad, for Catherine Kuhlman, for William Branham, and many others. And he said, "As I was standing there looking," he said, "I thought, oh, she stinks." He said, "But I knew there was a lot of people looking, so I didn't want to hold my nose." And he said, "I'm thinking, ooh, this smells bad. What is going on?" And he said, "Your dad said, everybody point your hands this way, close your eyes, and let's pray." And so everybody points their hand, close their eyes. He said, "But I didn't. I peeked." He said, "I'm looking." He said, "Your dad began to pray, and whatever he was saying, all of a sudden," he said, "I saw those clamps start flying." And he said, "I saw her body turn from black to red to pink inside, and her organs begin to move around." He said, "I could see those organs moving, and they just looked like something just put them in place, and then that skin came over her body without a needle and thread and was back together." Woo! It's a miracle! I said, "It's a miracle. My Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever." He still heals today. And sometimes we are accepting the system. Sometimes we're just going along, well, the doctor said. The man at the pool of Bethesda, when Jesus was standing right there, and he says to the man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You got to understand, the man had been 38 long years. Not 38 days, 38 hours, 38 weeks. 38 long years. Jesus passed everybody and went to that one. Some of you today, he's going to pass some and he's going to come right to you. You are the one he's after today. You are the one he's come to make whole. He wants us made whole. Inside and out. But sometimes we, like the man at the pool of Bethesda, have those excuses. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the man said, "I have no man to put me in the water." We're looking to man and Jesus right here. The doctor says, the pharmacist says, the computer says, I looked it up and this is what's wrong. And the computer says, and Dr. Jesus standing right here saying, "Wilt thou be made whole?" "Well, I have no man to put me in the water." And then every time I go to get in, somebody beats me. Well, I'm going to tell you, if the water gets stirred, I'm going to beat you. So you might as well go ahead and whine about it if you want. The good news is, when Jesus died, rose again, sat at the right hand of the Father, he made the waters to stir for everybody so we can all get in. Amen. So what's happened, because I asked the Lord, I said, "I don't understand, Lord, what's going on. What's the difference in my dad's day and today? What's going on that these miraculous?" And people said to me, "Well, you know, sister, that was just a season." And I said, "What?" And I was about to have a righteous indignation argument. I mean, I was like, there's something snarled up in me like, "It's what?" "Well, that's just a season that happened in your father's day. And A.A. Allen, we're in a different season." And there are seasons, don't get me wrong. But there's just some things that are the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's just some things that is characteristic for Jesus to do. If Jesus shows up in the place and he's here, which is why we invite him, "Please, Jesus, come." And when he comes, then we need to do like the two men on the road to Emmaus when they realize he is here. "Don't go. Don't go, Jesus. Because everything we have need of is in you, and you're the one we're looking for, and you're the one we want. So don't go, Jesus." We need to hold on to him. Grab a hold and hang on. Say, "Don't go. Because you're what we're looking for. Everything I need right now is in you. He took it all on the cross for you." Amen? And so here we are. Jesus is here. And yet people don't understand, because it's characteristic for Jesus to heal. He doesn't come into a room and you know he's walking amongst you. I always say Jesus is passing. There's a song we used to sing, "Jesus is passing this way." And I'm like, "Don't let him pass you by." And I remember as a kid we used to sing, "Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by." See, those songs were real to me. To me, they weren't just a song. See, today we have things that we like, feel-good songs. One makes you like shake, rattle, and roll, tap your foot. Made you cry. We let our soul do too much activity and involvement when Holy Spirit's right here. We don't even have to get that involved. All we got to do is relax and just go, "Wow." Yeah. And he'll make you cry. He'll make you laugh. He'll make you sing. Sometimes you just want to have a father-daughter dance. Everybody think, "What in the world are you doing?" Whew. We're just dancing. Amen. Just so many things he'll begin to do when we just disengage ourselves and engage in him. He shows up in the place, and he doesn't just walk into the place and move in amongst us and say, "Oh, so you need a healing. Oh, yes, Jesus." He's, "Oh, well, I'll be right back. I left it at home." No, it's characteristic. He says, "Arise, take up your bed and walk. Be thou made whole." That's why you don't want to be looking to man. Because Jesus is the one. And he just tells us, come on, get up. It's time to be healed. It's time for the bully to quit picking on you. It's time to be made whole. Thank you. That's why we want him here. That's why we need his presence. His presence lets us realize even the sins and the junk in our trunk and the things we're hanging on to. It lets us know that there is hope and there is help. In our world today where things seem hopeless, so many people feel hopeless. Everything seems hopeless. And they're thinking the government's going to fix it all. Well, that's another sermon. We won't even go there. I just know the one, his name is Jesus. I said, I know his name is, let's just say it, Jesus. Jesus. Woo, Jesus. So I asked the Lord, I said, I don't understand. It just don't make sense to me. And he reminded me when I was in Florida, there was a man they introduced me to there that I was amazed to meet. I didn't realize, but this pastor there said, do you know this man? And I said, no. And the man said, no, too, because we're looking like, no. And he said, well, this man makes tents. He said, didn't you do the tents for Jack Cohen? And he said, yeah. And Branham and a bunch. He said, yeah, I did. And T.L. Lowry and different ones. And he said, I did. And he said, well, this is Jack Coe's daughter. And well, I said, well, let's get our picture together. So I got a picture with him. And we talked for a little bit. And finally, this pastor said to him, he said, in one thing, tell me, just one thing you can think of, the difference in her dad's day and today. And he said, well, I can tell you right off. He said, what is it? He said, the difference is healing lines and prayer lines. In her dad's day, there were healing lines. Today, it's prayer lines. And I thought that was amazing what my husband said because he didn't even realize that I was even talking to the Lord about this. And he said, the difference, healing and prayer lines. Thank God that you said what you did because it's transforming back to healing lines again. Why? Not because we're here, but because he's here. Woo! I said, it's because he's here. You don't need man, you need Jesus. That's why the blind man on the road to Jericho realized, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't going to let him go. If I can get Jesus to hear my voice, my cry. Wow. Some of you, enough is enough. You've been desperate. It's enough being picked on. It's time to cry out. I love it because God responds. There's two things God responds to. It's the hunger of his people. So look at your neighbor and thank goodness you're hungry. Because God responds to hunger. He says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He even prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. The table's set again today. Full meal deal. Yeah, we can pig out. Woo! We're going to get to do it three times today. Amen. This is just the first meal. He's going to prepare it every time. Amen. It's so good to just eat at his table and find out that it's the buffet. All the salads you want, pastas and all the meats, and then the dessert. And then come back for seconds and thirds. And don't tell me you don't do that because I prayed for some three and four times last night. And I don't mind. That's hungry people. So two things he responds to is the hunger of his people and the cries. You know what's wrong is some of you quit crying. I know that if a person gets down and starts crying and cries out to God, the bully's going to get in trouble. See, I'm one of those, I can throw a little fit. I'm a kid enough inside of me that I'll just get down the devil. And just carrying on. I kind of like to use the example of a kid in the room and you hear the little one screaming and crying and you go running and go, what's wrong? She wants my toy. I don't want her to have my toy, so I took it away from her. We'll give her the toy back. No, I don't want her. She'll slobber on my toy. Give her the toy back now. Parents don't want justice, they want quiet. You go back in the other room and you hear it again. Where am I? And you go running back in there again. What's wrong, man? What's the matter? I told you she had slobber on my toy. Look, I'm trying to wipe it off. She got slobber all over my toy. I don't care if she gets slobber everywhere. Give her the toy back. You know what I'm talking about. You go out. They said, if I have to come back in here again, I'm going to wear you out. You walk out of the room. You end there a little bit and you hear, and it stops. You know why? Because the kid's smarter than the devil. Kid's in there going, shut up. You're going to get me a whipping. Just shut up. You can have the toy back. You can have all my toys. You can have my allowance. Just shut up. Mama didn't have to come with that kid. Right? Same thing with the devil. He keeps picking on, but he's so stupid, he just keeps on. But you just keep on crying the louder, and God will say, what are you doing now? That's what he told when the children of Israel cried out. He said, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. He said, I hear a cry. I hear a cry. And I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I believe he looks down from heaven, we're crying out, and he says, devil, because he responds, you better let my children go. Why? Because he responds to your cry, and he responds to your hunger. You need to get a hold of that. Quit accepting it. Well, I've had this for 20 years. It's just how it's supposed to be. I've just learned to live with it. No, it's the devil, and I ain't living with it. Any sickness, you believe all sickness and disease is the devil? Yeah, I do. I do. Smith Wigglesworth said, if I cannot get people to understand what they're dealing with, that it is the devil, I can't help them. Because he's made friends with them. He said, but when I can convince them and they realize it is, then I can help them. Amen. That's what Smith Wigglesworth said. And whether it comes from different sources or different ways, or we live in a place where there is our environment, our food, all kinds of chemicals, these still all point back to where does it come from? Even though we have these things happening and there's not a thing you can do. I mean, the food you eat can cause cancer. The different things you have going on in the environment can cause things in your lungs, can cause things to happen. But it's still the source is... So if we're having that, why don't we just God said, I hear a cry. Guess who's coming to my room? You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. You got to quit buying into his lies. You climb up in your tree. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, you can clap. I'm Pentecostal. You can shout, somebody takes off running, we'll still have church. Amen? I love that kind of stuff. That means you're involved. I don't like people going to sleep. Well, unless you're real tired. My dad always said, get something out of the service. If you're sleepy, go ahead and sleep. He said, but if you don't get sleep, if you need a healing, get healed. If you need to be set free, get set free. But get something. Amen. And so I was talking to the Lord about the difference in my dad's day and today, and that was one of the things, was the healing lines versus prayer lines. The other thing was the hunger. The people were so hungry. Now you tell me, when there's 22,000 people in a tent and another 10 to 20 standing outside, that's not hungry. And they get there early. I mean, early. Like at 12 noon. I said, For a 7 o'clock meeting. I said, you did what? They said, we got there at 12 noon. You did? I mean, these people telling me, I was a little girl when my dad passed away. 12 noon, what did you do? That was hard for me to picture. We do good to make it at 7. Some people 7:30. Amen. You know, I don't look at anybody. I'm just telling you what I've observed, okay? And they're sitting there at 12 noon waiting for church to start. I said, what did you do for 7 hours? They said, oh, sometimes we'd talk to each other. We'd testify to each other. We'd have a prayer meeting with each other. We'd made pallets for our kids. We took coolers or whatever to make the little lunches and things like this. And said, we'd just have church before church. They were plowing the ground ahead of time. Why? Because they were hungry. They couldn't wait till 7. You know, you ever have just been so hungry for something and you want to eat it and you say, well, you're not going to get to eat till 7? What do some of you do? You go in there and find something to snack on. Don't tell me you don't. I tried to hold out till 7. I just couldn't do it. Where's those chips? Where's those crackers? Where's some cheese? Get me something. There's something growling, and that's what they did. I got to have something before the 7 o'clock service because I know that that's going to top it off, but right now I've got to eat now. And so they just began to eat because they were hungry. So they were hungry. So what is two things God responds to? The hunger and the cries. These are some keys. There's two keys to revival. You want to know what those are? Just act like you got some keys in your hand. Rattle them at the devil. We got the keys. There you go. Somebody's got their keys. There you go. You know what the two keys are? Repent. Yeah. Thank you. You know what it is? The two keys to revival. Prayer and repentance. Now, if we know some of these things, why are we not in the middle of revival? I pray for revival everywhere I go. Every city I drive in, every state, my husband will wake me up and he'll say, honey, we're going through the state of Illinois. Honey, we're going through the state. When you get up in those eastern states, you just about finish praying for one and you're already in another state. We're in Ohio now. Oh, we're in West Virginia. We're back in Ohio. You know, you're like, well, I hadn't finished praying for the, okay, Ohio, bye, West Virginia. Oh, back in Ohio. Let me finish. Come on. I pray for revival. I cry, God, send revival. We got to have revival. I want revival. I need revival. The people need revival. Send your fire. Send your rain. Send your glory. We want it all. My dad was in a meeting one time. Woman on one side. Another woman on the other side. One saying, send the fire. Send the fire. The other one saying, send the rain. Send the rain. He's going, send fire. Send the rain. Send the fire. Which one do you want? They said, both of them. Both of them. When it's a move of God, you want it all. Amen. I'm praying, God, send revival. We got to have revival. There's places I weep. There's just places I just sit and cry. And my husband, you okay? Yeah, I don't know what's going on here, but thank you, God. And I just pray and cry. I'm so glad I get to travel because I get to do that. Just impart revival and fires everywhere. So in case I didn't warn you, I am a fire starter. Hope no one's here from the fire department. Because there's going to be a fire. One way or another. You'll either be fiery mad or fiery glad, but there will be a fire. Hallelujah. Might as well get excited. So I'm praying for it. God, we need revival. And one day I heard the Lord say, why do you want revival? Well, you're God. You know. I mean, God, really, you wouldn't ask me a question like that, would you? Why do I want revival? Duh. He didn't say nothing. Waited a while, and then he said, why do you really want revival? And I told him some of the things I told y'all last night. Church was so fire and exciting. Sister Gatling gun shooting everybody. People spun like tops. Holy rollers rolling on the floor. Back then, they had these holy buns. Thousands of bobby pins. I mean, they got in the glory of God and the prayer. They just shake and those bobby pins go flying. They'd have half their hair down, the other half up, still in the holy bun. And me and my brothers and sisters over there collecting the bobby pins. Told Mama, you don't have to buy bobby pins. We got tons. We'd see who could get the most every night at church. Collecting the bobby pins. I said, there was like popcorn in church. I mean, people popping up and down. You never knew when they was going to pop and when they was going to run, when they was going to holler. And just even if you thought you was going to get your kids to sleep or you thought as a kid you was going to get a nap, about the time you just did, there went, ah! And you're like, of course, after a while as a child, you learn how to sleep through it all. I would tell them, don't you let me go to sleep. They want me to sit with them. I want to see it all. When my daddy prays for people, if I fall asleep, you wake me up. If they didn't wake me up, I wouldn't sit with them again. I love to watch God move. I knew what the presence of God was like. And these are not people, like I said last night, practicing at home how to act like that. I never seen people take their head all the way to the floor this way and then come forward with their head all the way this way. That means you have no bones. Just things they did that amaze you. You knew it had to be God. The way they twisted and carried on. It's like, ooh, that would hurt. If you try it in the normal, when we go home as kids, we always had church. We prayed for the sick and we did all. But I remember trying to do some of those things those people did at church. And I'm like, I can't do like I try to go down. And as a kid, you're more flexible. But even that, it was like, ow. You know it has to be God. And so I'm just telling him all these things, how it was just, you know, it wasn't boring at all. That's why it made some of the other religious churches or denominational churches nervous to come there. So they're like, well, I want what that healing they got and this other, but I don't want this. You know, it's funny, sometimes they'd get it anyway. And so I'm telling the Lord, and he said, oh, so you want a thrill and a chill. I thought, man, that is what I'm describing to him. And in revival, there is thrills and chills. And because it's an encounter with him, there is emotions that affect your life. So it is awesome. But I just realized really all I was describing to him was the thrill and the chill of it all. I said, oh, God, I'm sorry. He said, then why do you really want revival? I had to think about it. Revival. That's when Johnny didn't beat Susie. Sally didn't have to prostitute her body. Johnny didn't have to beat up people. Sammy didn't have to stick needles in his arms to survive. They were coming to the altars, weeping and crying, laying down the sins. I would see people throwing things on the platform, throwing things on the ground as they would run to Jesus. Their lives were changed. People were courteous to one another. You go ahead. No, I don't mean to get, no, you go ahead. Nowadays, it's like, don't you get in front of me. Even Christians. Amen. My husband says people drive like their attitude. It's pretty bad out there, isn't it? When you're driving today, but see, in revival, that wasn't the case. Their attitude was joy unspeakable, full of glory. It's like, oh, you can cut in line. Oh, it's okay. Now it's you don't know if you're going to have somebody pull up beside you with a gun, screaming at you, yelling. And all you did was, I moved over a little bit. Well, you got in my way. Amen. And so I'm telling the Lord, that's why I want revival. Hearts and attitude, lives are changed, people are saved, people get healed, deliverance, salvation. That's why we want revival. That's why I got to have revival. And then he says to me, so you want revival? Yes. He said, then have it. Just like that? Just like that. You mean I don't have to wait on all these other people to get revival first? Listen to me. He said, no. I don't hold revival back. You want revival, you can have it. You mean I've been waiting all this time on everybody and I can just have it? He said, yeah. And I'm like, woo, I'm having a revival with or without you. Woo, it's so much fun. I'm at recess every day. It's joy unspeakable, full of glory. There's a fire in my soul I can't contain, I can't control, and I just can't help it. It's so much fun. So I decided not to wait on you. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, revival begins in me. He wants to renew, refresh, restore. Do you know what RE in revival means? And in renew and refresh and restore, do it again. If he's done it before, he'll do it again. So guess what? He's doing it again. You can decide to go ahead and get in the middle of it, or you can just keep waiting like I used to do. I want to be contagious and infect other people with what I got. I want people to get excited like I am, because it's real. It is so real that inside of me, I wake up with joy and fire and excitement. And I'm like, you pick on me again, I'm gonna whine and cry and get you in big trouble. He says, I found out how much I'm loved by God and how special I am. So much special that he's got every hair numbered on my head. So when the devil starts picking on me, I go, start counting, Buster. Keep him busy for a while, because you're losing here and gaining here. He can't keep up. And then that way you can have fun. Amen? We got to change some things, people. Yes. Hallelujah. So the difference in my dad's day and today, I'm going to try to wrap some of this up. So they waited. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Remember I said last night in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost fully come, what happened? They waited. They waited and they tarried and they prayed. So these people who came at 12 noon were waiting. They were tarrying. They were praying. They were testifying. They were having church before church. So one of the things that happened then is they waited. We don't have time to wait because we're a microwave society. We can put something in the microwave for 1 minute and open the door 3 times, tapping our foot. Amen. We need to learn to wait. Well, I went up there for prayer. Nothing happened. I went up there and they said that I could have an encounter. Nothing happened. Of course, I love it sometimes, even when some of them think nothing's going to happen. What happened? What happened? I remember it was in California. We went there for a 5-day meeting, turned into a 5-week revival. I'm telling you, people were taking down on the floor from their childhood up. In one service, they were healed inside from their childhood up. When they stood to testify, they would tell about, God took me back to this time when this and this happened and all these things. And I could just feel him just pulling these things out of me and setting me free. One girl had such an encounter with the Lord that I didn't recognize her. I wish that I had a before and after. They're paying thousands of dollars out there for this kind of changeover. They even had a program out once called how they would put somebody back and they'd go fix them up and they'd bring them out and you wouldn't recognize them. You know, what was that? Makeover. Yeah. This girl got a complete makeover for free. I kept asking the pastor every night. Finally, I said, I keep looking for this girl that God so completely, I didn't see the change that night, but every night I was looking for her because I knew God so radically did something in her. And I said, she never came back. She got what she wanted, never came back. He said, yeah, she's been here every night. I said, really? He said, that's her over there. No, that's not the same one. He said, it is. I went over and I said, are you the girl that was right here? Yeah. Oh, I wish I'd have got a before and after picture. I'm telling you, it wasn't even the same person. He just does things like that. They couldn't help but wait. When we wait on him. We got to quit demanding things out of God. We got to keep saying, you owe me. We think he's Jimmy, give me. You know, whenever we come to him, we only come to him when we need something. He's my Jimmy, give me. And when he don't give it, we get mad. Okay, I'll go back to my notes. We'll not look at it. Yeah, stay in my lane. I'll stay in my lane. They waited. Another thing, they had more. You said, well, how come they had more? Why is it back then they had more than we have? Why is it the book of Acts had more? Because they gave more. They had more because they gave more. Amen. What was another thing? Expectation. Expectation breeds miracles. Because you come expecting, knowing that Jesus is going to meet you here. You come saying, I am coming and I'm going to receive. There was such an expectation in the atmosphere. It was charged. The first night when we walked in here, I said, oh, Jesus, you got to show up. These people are expecting. I love the expectation that was in the atmosphere last night.
Because
it hadn't left. That's right. Expectation breeds miracles. And they came with that expectation, even though they didn't know how it was going to work, and even though they didn't know for sure what he was going to do, they still came expecting. Instead of, well, we'll just wait and see. There are spectators too. There was some there that was spectators, but the majority of them had expectation. Now, it's kind of funny because my dad was one of those anyway that he already knew what God. He took every word the Bible said and how it said it, every comma, every period. If he said it, he'd do it. When he went to Long Island, New York, he only had in this 22,000-seater tent, starting the first night and the first few nights, 1,000 people. Now, that can look like 20 people in a great, or maybe 10, very small. And this one pastor said to me, I was there, and I heard your dad say, by the end of the week, there will be 30,000 people. You better get tickets. If you don't have a ticket, you won't get to sit inside the tent part. He thought, yeah, right, poor man. He said, I thought, well, I'll get 10 tickets in case some of my family wants to come and make him feel good. He said, but at the end of the service, after he finished preaching, he went over to people in wheelchairs, and he jerked them out of the wheelchairs and kicked the wheelchair and said, walk in the name of Jesus. And sometimes he'd grab them, come on, run, 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 run. And he said, right there, you would watch miracles. He said, I watched legs grow up. I saw people's lives that were healed. One was in a wheelchair that had, what do you call it, when there's all twisted and mangled and there's no way you can pretend something happened. You could see it in their body, their mouth and drooling and their tongue hanging out. And he said he went over and he jerked that one, grabbed it. He thought, that kid's going, what are you doing? And he said all of a sudden when he kicked the wheelchair and grabbed, that tongue went in the mouth and bones started to snap, crackle, and popping. Things began to happen. And he said all of a sudden that person took off running with your dad. Now you can imagine that this child going back home in her neighborhood and all her friends, what happened? What happened? Well, guess what? They're coming. Some are coming with expectation, and some are coming to be spectators to find out how did this happen. But they came. By the end of the week, there were 30,000 people there. He said, I was glad I had a bunch of tickets. I was able to pass them around to my family so we could get in. He said, by the next week, there was about 40,000. By the end of the next week, they said there was 50,000. He estimated later crowds between 60 and 70,000 people in Long Island, New York. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. When we start lifting him back up, but I have no man. When we start lifting him back up, we won't be able to hold what's coming. They're going to get your parking space. They're going to get your seat, and they're going to beat you to church. Amen. That's another message. I'll go back to my notes. Repentance. There was a lot of repentance back then. People would realize, I let sin get in my life. Instead of saying, because we have such grace and we've got this to where it's a greasy grace, that it don't matter if you did that, it's okay. What part of thou shalt not do you not understand that God says? He didn't change the word. I don't know why we've taken this narrow road and broadened it for the world to fit in. I won't look at anybody again. It's like Walmart discounting their merchandise so people will want to buy it. And that's what we're doing with God. We don't need to discount nothing. Everything he says he'll do and everything he is holy. He is holy. He is holy. They were sanctified and they were repentant and they were holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You don't ever ask unreasonable things out of you. Because Jesus died and took your place, and he knows what it's like to be in the flesh. But he also knows what it's like for you to overcome. Because he made you overcomers. He gave you bread and took it away and turned it over to Satan. Jesus said, I've come back. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Woo! Hallelujah. Repentance. I know we say this a lot, and I'm going to say it again. We use this scripture a lot. If my people called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, now this is a covenant. God's a covenant God. He'll keep his word. We want our land healed. There's the you're always looking for formulas. There is a formula, because he's a covenant God. If my people, now sometimes we call him our God, but are we really his people? Right. But if you are, if my people called by my name will humble, and that's a whole sermon in itself what humble is, and pray, that's another sermon, and seek my face, that's another sermon, and turn from their wicked ways. See, church is not multiple choice. You can't pick one and two. Well, I humbled and I prayed. Yeah, but you still got a bunch of idols and you're still carrying on like a crazy person because you think he's such a God of grace that you can have this greasy grace and do whatever you want. Humble, pray, seek, turn. When we do all four, he's going to heal the land. Just that simple. So there was a repentance in the land in my dad's day. There was such a prayer everywhere. They believed, even while my dad had the big tent, in their pictures you can see in the book, there's a little tent right next to the big tent that was the prayer tent. Constantly was prayer going on inside that tent. When you go into and study the Catherine Kuhlmans and the revivals of Wigglesworth and different ones, and even go on back to Finney and some of them, they had people even under the tent platforms that were underneath weeping and crying, that was right underneath wailing and weeping and crying. They had people in an area that was constantly praying while miracles of happening. Was it Venezuela? Where was that revival that broke out? Was it Venezuela? Huh? Argentina. Thank you. It was Argentina. In Argentina, where they were having such a move of God, the reason they found out was there was prayer going on. In that area, when the prayer kind of slided down, kind of got quieter, not as many things were happening actively in the meeting out there. When the prayer was intense, there was all kinds of signs and miracles and wonders and all kinds of activity. A friend of mine who had gone there, and the angel came to him while he was there. His name was David Angel. And he said, you are always asking for revival, and you came here to find out revival. He said, yeah. He said, would you like? He had keys all over his belt, he said, the devil. He said, I'm going to show you a key. And so he took him over, and he said, he took me back into the area where the people were praying. And he said, now watch this. And he said, I stood with the angel, and as they were intensely praying and they were just fired up, he said, then the angel took me back out into the service, and I saw all these things happening. Some of them the people didn't even pray for. They were falling out in their chairs. They were falling out everywhere. They were getting healed. They were getting set free, coming off of crutches. They were getting saved. They were getting delivered. And he said, I go back in, and he showed me when it slowed down. Then he took me back out there again, and it slowed down. So they ask him, while you're here, what did you observe? And he said, the people in Argentina, I mean, in, yeah, Argentina, tell us, did you observe anything? Did you see? And he said, yes. He said, I would change your guards constantly to keep that intense prayer going at all times. And he began to share with them what was happening during that time, the intense prayer. Wow. So prayer is a big key. He said, my house shall be called a house of preaching. My house shall be called a house of worship and singing. So get the best entertainers you can get. No, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And what did they have? Prayer and more prayer. They prayed before church. They prayed in the middle of church. They prayed after church. My aunt said she could hear my dad in the other room 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning crying, God, we turned away. So many people weren't healed. More needed to get saved. She said he would be over there crying and bawling and crying out to God, you got to do more. Thousands are being healed. Thousands are being saved. And instead of him saying, isn't this good? He said, God, you got to do more. Okay, we move right along.
Come on. Good. Good. Lord.
Yes. So prayer. Prayer. You can have, and I'm tell you why I know that's different today than then. We pastored, and also we go to things. And you call a prayer meeting, 3 people show up. You call an eating meeting, 300 people show up. Okay, we'll move right along. And the last that maybe we'll cover more later, but one of the biggest things that I realized, they brought. We quit bringing people. We quit inviting people. We're doing good to get ourselves here. We're doing good to make it work for us, and we got neighbors all around us, cancer, arthritis, sugar diabetes, in sin, in drugs, in alcoholism. Look, I'm barely making it myself. What do you mean you want me to bring people? They brought them from the hospitals. What? They brought them from the homes. They brought. The reason, I said, God, I don't understand. I'm like, Pastor, I don't understand why we're not seeing these miracles. We're seeing them. And we are, but not in the multitude we should be seeing. And I don't understand why that is not happening. And he said, because they're not bringing them. It is a lot of trouble to bring people. And one of the things, you start feeling responsible. Well, what if they don't get healed? Well, what if they do? Yeah, but what if they don't? Yeah, but what if they do? You're not responsible to make sure they get healed. You're responsible to bring them. Jesus heard the blind man on the road to Jericho crying out, have mercy on me. And God said, I hear a cry. Bring him to me. That's all we got to do. I used to sit down with people and cry with them. They'd tell me their story. Oh, no, it's awful. And I said, God, do you hear that? Johnny's on drugs. Mama's crying and she can't get her. And I hear, Johnny, you behave. You stop those drugs. And you need $50 for your mortgage. Don't cry. It's okay. 50's not going to cover it. That's all I got. I understand because I pastored. And you want to cry with them in your life. What do? I can't handle all of this. They want me to pay their bills. I can't even pay mine. I want to help them because when you have a heart for people, that's what you want to do. And God said, quit letting the devil put that kind of pressure on you. Bring them to me. That's all I got to do. I got set free. All I got to do is bring you to him. I'm like, now this is fun because now we can watch God move on this one and this one and this one. Even one time a lady came in the church with a stack of bills and my husband said, what's that? She said, I can't pay my bills. I need help. I know what she's saying. She thought we'd pay for them because we did help people sometimes. We couldn't help it. It was in us. My husband said, well, let's pray. You could tell she's a little disappointed. That's not what I want. And he said, God will pay your bills. He will heal. He said, yeah. He said, everybody stretch your hands. We're going to pray God's going to pay her bills. 2 weeks later, she's running in there jumping up and down. All my bills are paid. all my bills. See, she was looking to man. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Get your eyes back on God. He is your help. Psalms 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. Look up! Help's on the way. Look up, church. Help's on the way. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. And he makes you a water walker. Stand with me, please. God, you are awesome. You are awesome. We thank you, Lord. We thank you because we learn from what was to what is again. We don't say these things to say, oh, well, Jack Coe had it back then and we don't know. We're saying, guess what? We found out what we're lacking in and that we can reach out and grab a hold of it again and we can be the church you called us to be. And what was a legacy then is a legacy now. What was then is now. Because why? You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you did over 2,000 years ago, you still do today. Today. And tomorrow. See, I don't want to come in and make people think, well, that's how it used to be. Sorry y'all missed it. No, we didn't miss it. We're just finding out how to grab a hold of it. Time for you to say, I was born for such a time as this. Some of you people don't even like what's going on in this world today, and you're upset and you're mad, and you said, I can't believe that I'm even born, that I'd even be born to see what I'm seeing. No, I was born for this. If I wasn't here, there wouldn't be prayer to stop what's going on. If I wasn't here, these things would take over. But the hand of God is stopping some things. Even though things are moving fast, it's because we're here. We are born for this. All the way to the guillotine, if that's what it is. Because I'm in this gospel to preach, pray, and die for it. And if they tell me they're going to kill me, good. Go ahead and make sure you don't miss. Because I know where I'm going. What, they chop your head off? Just make sure that blade's sharp enough. I don't want headaches. You miss and you can't get it and the blade ain't very sharp. Now I got a little bit of cut here and got headaches. You do it right. Don't threaten me. I tell the devil, don't you threaten me. Because I know where I'm going. It's time to encourage one another. Heaven is my home. It's eternal. This is only temporary. The devil make you think you can live forever. You're not going to live forever. You will. In one place or the other. That's right. Not in this body. It's time we realize who we are in Christ Jesus. It's time to get up and fight back. It's time to know you ain't taking over my town. You ain't taking over my neighborhood. You ain't taking over my family. You done stepped on the wrong property. And even like Naaman, what you've inherited, and it's yours, and God has promised you, and the legacies you have, and even Jezebel, who thinks she's going to take things from you, because Ahab wants your property. Ahab wants you. Ahab wants to destroy you. But Jezebel says, don't worry. I'll get it. I said, you're home in heaven. And they paid for it later. She got thrown out the windows, and the dogs ate her. God will make them pay. You don't have to make them pay. You don't have to get mad. You don't have to get revenge. But I'm going to hang on to what's mine. And you ain't touching my property. He never gave in. There was not enough money. There was not enough bribery. There was not. And he said, I'll even die for this. But some people like Esau are selling their birthright for a cup of soup. Okay, that's another sermon. I'll get carried away. The preacher's in this house. Whew. Yeah. So I'm trying to tell you who you are. We're mighty, mighty, mighty warriors, warriors, mighty, mighty, mighty warriors, warriors. Hey, all I got to do is get up, start speaking in tongues, put my hand here, because out of the belly flows rivers of living water. All I got to do is start prophesying, speaking in tongue. I don't know if these bones can live, but I'm going to prophesy, and things are going to change. The bones are going to live. New Bronzeville, look out, here we come. Midland, look out, here we come. Wherever you're strategically placed, you are the watchman of that area. You were born for this. And it's time to get with the greatest weapon you have that God has given us, back to prayer. And when you do, then you go to bed and go to sleep. He's got it. It's like, I don't know, we're going to die. Sennacherib's going to get us. He said, go to bed, go to sleep. I got it. Some of you that's been in worry, that worry needs to be broken today. Some of you that's been in stress and fear, that needs to be broken today in the name of Jesus. Faith needs to arise again. You're a mighty warrior, and the devil's creeped in and got in your house, and God said it's time for him to vacate the premises. Woo! You were where in Iraq? What were you doing in Iraq?
Saving souls.
Woo!
Healing the sick.
Yeah, come on, come on. And that's a bad place for women to be, is in Iraq. They don't even honor or respect women. She was after a death warrant. That's what most people do when they want to retire. They go to Iraq or Pakistan or one of them because they know it's a death. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just seal everyone that she prayed for because it's dangerous over there. Yeah. Everyone that was meant prayed for, souls saved, prostitutes, people getting the truth. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for her ministry. Yes, thank you for the angels that protected her. Because yes, it is, we think it's bad here. Woo! It is bad. How'd you cover up all this white?
I didn't.
You didn't? No. Well, you see, that's what I'm talking about. You're a warrior. You're a warrior for God. You're like, I'm like Esther. I was born for this. Come on. Friend of mine, he goes to Pakistan.
What friend?
Pastor Dean Wagner.
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. 28,000 got saved. In one service, 28,000, 350,000 in the Coliseum. Who know? Who, that's just the ones I know, the 28,000. Those people will die.
That's right.
Any face that they recognize that went down and accepted Jesus Christ and denied Allah will die. But they'll die for this, and we're whining and complaining. They will die for God.
But that same pastor at this last conference we were at was needing $25,000. And we said, for what? Just to get over there? He goes, no. There's quite a few pastors and missionaries over there that are locked up in jail.
Because they gave their money.
Because they did what you're doing now. And we want to get them out of jail. And it costs $25,000. And at that conference, the pastor got up and said, this is what this man needs. And they didn't go into detail. The boy that does the finances came in five minutes.
He said, we'll get it today.
Yeah, he said, we'll get this today. And I thought, well, yeah, a lot of people in it, 800 people in there. But the boy that did the finances came in and leaned down and talked to him. I watched him. I didn't know what he said. He said, 5 minutes after we put that out, a man called and said, I'm giving $25,000 right now. Right now. Come on, that's our God. Come on. Keep up the good work. Remember, I told y'all, grow eyes in the back of your head. I want you safe, no matter what.
So I know we have a 2 o'clock. Some of you want to eat, but if there's some of you not going to be in the next service or tonight's service or in the morning, you're the ones we want to pray with, if you don't mind. It's not that we don't mind. We want to pray for everybody. And those who were here last night know we will. You know we will. And if you just say, I can't wait, even though I'm going to be in all the services, then we'll go ahead and pray for you. But I just want to honor those who may not be back at the 2 o'clock and who may not be back at the 6 o'clock. I want to be able to have a chance to pray for you and minister to you. So if that's you, and they're going to put some music on, we're going to worship a minute. We're going to let the atmosphere stay set. So do like the two men on the road to Emmaus. Don't go, Jesus. Come on, tell him, don't go. Don't go. We need you. Because everything is in you. Hold on to him. Don't let him go. Woo! In Jesus' name. We want to pray with and for you. Come on up here. This is like the pool of Bethesda. The water's stirred and everybody can get in. Come on.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.